The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Goedemorgen. The thought occurred to me just, I think it was last week, that the way things are going, I wouldn't have an opportunity to present a perek this year because I usually fill in when they don't get someone else. Then I noticed that this week there was nobody lined up. So that's me. Then I looked at the perek and saw that there were 5 psukim. And I figured that's why. So, I mean, the good news is we could really be out of here in about 5 minutes. But I think that despite the fact that it's only 5 psukim, and maybe it should have been scheduled together with the next week's perek, but the truth of the matter is I think that there's something in this perek which is relevant to us and relevant to our times, even though it only talks about Baruch ben Neriah's craving and desire and tfilos to become a Novi. And let's see what the perek has to say. Memhei. Hadovar asher diber Yirmiyahu hanovi el Baruch ben Neriah. This is the word that Yirmiyahu hanovi spoke to his Talmud Muvik Baruch ben Neriah. Bechosvo yes hadvorim ho'ele. When he wrote these words, Al Sefer Mipi Yirmiyah, from the direct dictate of Yirmiyah, Bashono Horavius Lehoyokum Ben Yoshio Melech Yehuda, Lemor. It was the 4th year of the Malchus of Yehoyokum Ben Yoshio, the Melech Yehuda. And it seems that the Sefer that we're talking about, it seems from the Meforshim, is really the Megillas Eicha, not this particular Sefer Yirmiyah, because this is out of order. It doesn't seem to be talking about the Sefer at hand, rather the dictation of Eicho, which was written by Yirmiyah, which was written down, dictated by Yirmiyah, written down by Baruch. And Yirmiyah is addressing Baruch in his desire and his request to achieve the independent status of Nevuah, not just being a Talmud of a Novi. Koyomar Hashem Elikei Yisroel. This is what Hashem has said, Olecho Baruch, about you, in reference to you, Baruch. So Yirmiyahu is speaking and relating to Baruch that which Hashem has told him in reference to Baruch. Omarto Uinoli ki Yosaf Hashem Yogoin al Machuivi. You have said, Oi, woe is to me. Hashem has added unhappiness, sadness to my pain. Yogati be'anchosi, I have tired myself with all of my krechtzing, with my sighing, with my complaining. Umenucha loy motzosi, and I haven't found rest. And this, the Meforshim says, menucha refers to nevuah. So I've been crying. I'm embarrassed. I'm in pain. I've become tired of all of my crying and beseeching Hashem, that I haven't found menucha. I have not yet achieved nevuah. Koy toymar elov. So this is what Hashem says to Yirmiyah, should say to him. Koy amar Hashem. Says this is what you should say to Baruch in response to his crying out to Hashem that he has added a great pain to his suffering and he is so overwhelmed with his beseeching Hashem, and still he has not succeeded in achieving the status of prophecy. Koy toymar elov. So you should say to him, Koyomar Hashem, this is what Hashem has said, Ani asher bonisi ani hoiris. Hinei asher bonisi ani hoiris. That which I have built, the Beis HaMikdosh, I am destroying. Veis asher notati ani noiseish. And that which I have planted, I am going to uproot. Ves kol ho'oretz hi. And all of this land. In other words, Eretz Yisrael is going to be destroyed. The Beis HaMikdosh, there's going to be a golus. Klal Yisrael is going to be sent out into golus. And this is his response to Baruch's tefillah and his desire to be a Novi. And then the pasuk, let's just finish the perek as long as we can do that. Vato, and you tivakesh lecho gedolos, you're asking for greatness, and this greatness, the Mefarshim say, refers to Nevuah. You're asking for Nevuah. I'm about to destroy. Everything is going to be destroyed. We're going to be sent out of Eretz Yisrael. There's not going to be a Beis HaMikdosh. And you're asking for Nevuah. Ki hinani mevi ro al kol, al tivakesh. Don't. Please don't request. Don't seek. Don't keep on this bent of trying to achieve Nevuah. Ki hinani mevi ro al kol bosor. I'm going to bring devastation on all flesh, Nu'um Hashem. V'nasati lecho es nafshecho lisholol. And I'm going to allow you to live. Your nefesh, your life, will almost be as the spoils of war. Everything will be destroyed, but you will be saved. You will be able to remain living. Al kol ha-makimis asher telech shom. Wherever you go into the golus, whatever happens to you, I'm going to protect you. I will not give you nevuah. Stop asking for nevuah, because I'm about to destroy everything for Klal Yisrael. However, I give you a promise that you will be saved, that you will be secured, that you will be safe despite all of the devastation and destruction that's happening. And it seems that what's going on over here is that the basic line that the Mefarshim take is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Tel Baruch, a Novi exists, Nevuah, prophecy, the Ruach Hashem that comes upon a person to allow him to speak in one form or another directly with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, to hear from him. That comes in the Schus of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, it isn't something that's personal. It's not because of your own personal greatness, although according to some, I think the main direction of the Mefarshim is that he was worthy personally of Nevuah. Some say that there's some question. The Radak seems to say he wasn't born that way. He didn't necessarily have all of the innate qualifications of a Novi. But most seem to say that he was worthy of Nevuah, and that's what's the Mashmos from Chazal, because the only answer that he gives him is, listen, the reason that a person is privileged to become a prophet is because of the merit of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael needs leadership, and Klal Yisrael has the schus, has the collective merit to deserve that leadership, and therefore, that's why someone gets Nevuah to be crowned as a leader in Israel. And since the Klal Yisrael now is being sent out of Eretz Yisrael, and is at this time, I imagine the Pshat is not worthy, therefore I'm not allowing any, I mean, it seems there were still Nevi'im that had Nevuah that continued until they returned from Bovel, but certainly I'm not anointing or not bestowing Nevuah on anyone new, and therefore since Klal Yisrael is in that matzav, they're no longer deservant, they're leaving Eretz Yisrael, therefore you cannot become a Novi. However, you are guaranteed of protection and security and assured that I will protect you throughout your travels, whatever the golus may bring for you. That's really what this perek is all about. However, if we think about it, I think that we can glean from this perek some of the basic concepts of tefillah. How it works. The Baruch Ben Neriah was praying to Hashem. He was mevakesh from Hashem that he should become a Novi. And we can learn, I think, some of the secrets of the methodology of tefillah and the rationale behind tefillah and the dynamic of how it works vis-a-vis the person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the tefillah and the response of Baruch and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to him that we find in this perek. First of all, what was his tefillah? He's been asking, I guess he is very bent on this idea of becoming a Novi. The truth of the matter is, the Gemara says that he was a Novi. So it's not so clear to me. The Gemara in Megillah says that Baruch is listed as one of the Nevi'im. So I guess he's asking for a level of Nevuah that was beyond that which, you know, he was maybe through his connection with Yirmiyah, he had some access to Nevuah. But whatever it was, he's asking for something way beyond what he had had. Now what is his tefillah? So his tefillah is, what is this? Ki Yosef Hashem Yogoin al Machoivi. Hashem has added suffering, has added sadness to my pain. Well, what is he referring to over here? So the Mefarshim say, Shenishtanesi mikol talmidei hanevim. I find myself different from all of the other students of the Nevi'im. She'ein lecho odom sheshimesh es novi shelo yishorso ruach raboi olov. There isn't, in our history, I guess, another individual who was such a close Talmud, such a close servant of a Novi, who did not have that Nevuah then bestowed upon him. Moshe al Yehoshua v'nosato mehoid cholov v'chein Elisha k'siv nocho ruach Eliyahu al Elisha. The ruach of Eliyahu was placed upon Elisha. The ruach of Moshe Rabbeinu was placed upon Yehoshua. V'ani yogati v'anchosi. I have tired myself in this crying out to Hashem that I want to become a novi u'menucha loy motzosi v'emenucha el nevuah. So it seems that his tefillah was, he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, says, why am I different from everybody else? Why do I have to suffer this, I guess, I don't know if that's the right word, indignity, that it seems that every Talmud of a Novi became a Novi in his own right. And I'm the one that isn't privileged with this thing. And that's why he says, Yosaf Hashem Yogein al Machoivi. He's added, I'm in so much suffering, and he continues to allow me to continue to suffer. He's describing, he's invoking all of the suffering and the pain and the frustrated or the weariness, the tiredness of all of this beseeching, and still nothing happens. Seems that tefillah is a process. It isn't, as unfortunately we hear today, and I hear it from so many young people, and I guess we hear it from the adult generation as well. I davened, I prayed, and nothing happened. It's a process. Chazal tell us, Sora Imenu had to pray for 90 years until she had a child. In fact, Chazal even tell us why. Chazal asked the question, Lomo nisakro imois? Why were all of the imois, Sora, Rivka, Rochel, and even Leah, until it says, Vayara Hashem kisnu aleah vayiftach es rachmo, because of that competition that she had with Rochel, so Hashem had special rachmonis and gave her a child early. They were all supposed to be barren for a long time. Shehakodesh Baruch Hu misave l'tfiloson shel tzadikim. Hakodesh Baruch Hu craves the tfilos, the prayers of the righteous people. Now, I mean, well, that's all right, but that's not what he's invoking here. He's not it doesn't sound like he's invoking his loyal service as much as he's invoking the frustration that everybody else. That's what Chazal say, and that's what it says. Yosaf Hashem Yogan al Machoivi is referring to the fact that all the other people are getting it. So true, he's worthy. I guess they were worthy, and they got. I'm worthy, and I'm not getting. So that's his. That seems to be what his concern was. But the question is that there's a reason, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misabel tefilos shel tzadikim. What does that mean? That means not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the tefillos of the tzaddikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anything. He created a world not for any need, not for need of praise. In fact, there's a beautiful moshel that I saw once in the name of the Vilna Goin. I think the last time I gave this, it was in the room downstairs in the old building, and it was a little more appropriate because this room is a lot more, a lot nicer, a lot bigger, a lot more majestic. But then I said, imagine that the President of the United States, somebody would walk into this room, you know, and we would all rise and greet him. Welcome, President of the Shul. I mean, no offense to any. So it's an insult. I'm the President of the United States of America. I'm the King, the Queen of England. And you welcome me as the King or the President of this little room, you know, as nice as it may be. any praise that we offer Hashem is really an insult. Do we know what that means? Do we have any concept of His greatness? Do we have any concept of how awesome He is? Do we have any concept of the depths of His chesed and His rachamim? Anything we say is in reality, compared to what He really is, our level of understanding, as sophisticated as it may be, is an insult to Him. Is the ultimate in understatement. But yet He allows us to do it because it benefits us. We strengthen ourselves. When we realize the greatness of Hashem, when we realize the chesed of Hashem, when we stand in prayer to Hashem and realize that it's through Him that we achieve everything in this world, and that nothing comes without His kindness and without His mercy, that has a benefit on us. That uplifts us. That brings us closer to Him. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misavir letfiloson shel tzadikim. So here too we see it's a process. It's yogoin al machoivi, yogati ba'anchosi. I become tired already. I'm begging, and it still doesn't happen. And there's a cheshbon for that, because it's only that really uplifts a person and brings him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the truth of the matter is that I think it's a mistake in general when a person says, "I prayed and I didn't get an answer." Do you know what the root, not only the root, but do you know what the source of tefillah is? The source of tefillah in the Torah is the posuk that it says, "V'ulavdei b'chol levavchem." It says, "V'avadetem es Hashem Elokeich v'ulavdei b'chol levavchem." Eizu hi avoido shebechol halev, shebelev, zu tefillah. Tefillah is avoido shebelev. Tefillah is not a work of the lips. It's not lip service. It's not saying, "Please help me." It's an avoido, it's a service, it's an avdus that's done with the heart. The heart has to do it. In fact, it's possible, I mean, today it's the halacha may be a little bit different because the words help focus the feelings of the heart, but it could be that me'ikar hadin, you don't even have to say any words. It's all about feeling in the heart. Now, what if you say words and you don't feel in the heart? That's not avoido shebelev. That's not really tefillah. So tefillah is a request. Has to do, the Chazal say it has three parts. It's praising Hashem and requesting from Hashem and expressing our intention, commitment to thank Him. But be that as it may, it has to be felt. It's heartfelt. They say, "Oh, please help me." And if it isn't heartfelt, it doesn't mean anything. We're mispala sometimes for many things. Sometimes there's a real feeling in the heart, and oftentimes it's very superficial. And there's no issue, there's no reason to assume that such a tefillah should be accepted, because it's not tefillah. Tefillah is avodah shebelev. The Goyin takes it one step further. The Goyin says the shirish of the word tefillah is from the posuk that we read last week in the Torah, Ra'oi ponecha loy pilolti, that Yaakov said to Yosef that I never had a positive machshava that I'd ever see you again. Vato, now he sees his children when he gives them the brocha. They Ra'oi ponecha loy pilolti. The Goyin says the shirish of tefillah is pilel, pilolti. I never had this positive machshava. It's a positive machshava. It's an inyan, almost a bitochen. I'm trusting Hashem. I'm asking Hashem for something, and I'm counting on Him. The guy who says the tefillah, you know, the famous tefillah that, "Hey, if there's anybody up there, will you please listen to me?" He's not really counting on Hashem. Or even if he knows there's somebody up there, but he's not so sure he cares, or he's not so sure he's involved, or he's not so sure he's fully capable, or interested, or motivated. It's the realization of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He's involved and He cares and He's all powerful and He's full of love and full of chesed and full of kindness and mercy, and He wants to do for us. And I turn to Him and I beg and I beseech and I do it with my heart, with all my feeling, and I inspire myself to count on Him and to rely on Him that He's going to respond to my tefillah. That's something about what tefillah looks like. The question then becomes, and it's a philosophical question, like, what's that all about? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Who are you trying to beat in this game? And that question really goes like this. Hashem decides what each person deserves. Hashem decides what each person needs. And those decisions have been made and decreed on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And now I stand here and I want something. Monavshach. If I'm supposed to get it, so I'll get it without the tefillah. And if I'm not supposed to get it, what are you trying to do? You're fighting the system? What's it all about? What do we do? And it seems, and that's important to realize, that it may be, not it may be, but that I'm asking for things. No, let me back up. How many people are willing to settle only for what they deserve? Don't raise your hands, please. All right? We all want a little more than we deserve. We don't want to be judged and dealt only what we deserve. We know we fall short here, we fall short there. You know, please don't judge me. Don't grant me just what I deserve. Give me just a little more. And under special circumstances, we want a lot more. So we wish to change that which was decreed. One of the processes that we have to do so is tefillah. We have a power of tefillah. Tefillah is a power. Tefillah is a power that we have to invoke a change in the gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, how do we do that? Well, there are many, there are a number of different aspects to it. One thing is that I force the issue. I say, look how much I'm suffering. I'm crying. I'm begging. I take it so seriously. I'm in such pain that it seems that there's such a thing that whereas a person did not deserve to get something in din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Bereishis Bo Elokim, with din. But then he tempered it with rachamim. B'yoyim baroi Hashem Elokim Eretz v'shomayim. He tempered it with rachamim. So in din, maybe I don't deserve it. But yes, rachmonis, I'm suffering so much. I feel the pain and the need so acutely. And I'm turning to you and I'm begging you to please pay attention. And I dare say, and this is maybe treading on a little bit, I have to tread lightly, let's say, but we read this morning in the parasha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't have it in front of me, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he saw the suffering of Klal Yisrael, so he says, he nosan liboy, he focused his heart to pay attention to their suffering. It seems that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochol, when the gzera is that we're not supposed to get something, so he has to sort of hide. He has to sort of close his eyes. He has to sort of kaviyochol, we don't know what this means exactly, but he can't pay attention to it, because if he pays attention to it, he feels our pain. So rather what we have to do is we invoke that pain. We beg him. We say, please, look how much the pain. Pay attention to the pain. Look how much pain. And there seems to be a system. Thank you. There seems to be a system of evoking divine mercy just because of the fact that we keep begging and begging. So that's one thing, that we beg. And of course, if it's begging, we know begging. I mean, we all know from our children, from our own experiences, that usually when you beg the first time around, you're not necessarily matzliach, because you really weren't supposed to get the candy. You really weren't supposed to get it. Your kid really shouldn't have it. But after a couple of good gesunte beggings, your gati v'anchosi, or maybe the parents or your geya in the anocha of the children. So at some point, you know, we give in, and kaviyochol, I guess in a human sense, we have to try to understand it that way, that the Rebbeinu Shalom too responds and pays attention to the underscoring and the extent of our suffering. There's a second thing. There's a schus. The Sefer HaChinuch says that tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has instituted the mitzvah of tefillah in order to give us an opportunity to get the things that we don't deserve, to get the things that we want. There are things that we may not be able to get. Tefillah allows us to get it. But he says also it inspires us as to where it comes from. When a person, you know, we go through life and we have what we need and everything seems fine and there's no economic crises and there's no security crises and there's no illness that surrounds our communities and we don't have anything to worry about, we tend very easily to forget the Rabbeinu Shalom. We think everything is fine, you know, like the guy, how does that story go about this... This man is has a 5 o'clock appointment in Manhattan, the most important appointment of his business career, and he's turning around and around looking for a parking space, and I guess he can't afford the garages there yet, and he's looking, he says, please, Rabbeinu Shalom, this is the most important appointment of my career, you have to help me, it's 5 to 5 and I need that parking, and please, I beg of you, and as he's begging, he's waiting for a red light, and he sees right across from the light, he sees an open space. He says, oh, never mind, thank you very much, everything's under control. We tend to do that when things are good, and we turn it on and off so quickly. You know, we tend to, and that's a terrible mistake. So when we turn to Hashem with a lev, with a heart, with yogati van chosi, with yogoin al machoivi, when we keep on begging and beseeching, so we're reminding ourselves, it's all up to Him. It's His chesed, it's His rachamim, it's His world, it's His hashkocha protis. And memela we have a schus, and that schus now can elevate us to deserve something which prior to that tefillah I didn't deserve. So not only can it be a process of begging rachmonis, it could also be a process of enhancing my merit. I now have a new merit. I reached a new level of emunah. I reached a new level of appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if that tefillah becomes an act of tefillah of pileil, of bitochen, of trusting Hashem, that's even a greater schus. Now, not only did I beg for mercy, not only do I have the schus of emunah, of recognizing that everything is dependent upon Him, I'm counting on Him, I'm trusting Him, I have such a confidence in Him, and that confidence allows me to rely on Him. I'm sure. What a schus that is. A person who feels such confidence in the Rabbeinu Shalom that he has no hesitation whatsoever. He knows for sure that he's going to deliver and to answer his tefillah. That in itself is a tremendous schus that overweighs anything that he may have been deserving of or that the gzeira may have been for. You know, in terms of this trusting, we just have to always remind ourselves of the famous story of Rabbi Sol Salanter, where somebody came to him in a great sorrow, and he says he needed 10,000 ruble, and he told him, just buy a lottery ticket, you know, have 100% bitochen, and everything will be all right, for sure you'll win. This guy buys the ticket, and he has 100% bitochen, and the weeks go by. Guess he could win every week with the same ticket, and nothing happens, again, weeks and weeks, nothing happens. Comes back to Rabbi Yisroel and he says, I have bitochen 100% all these weeks and nothing happened, I didn't win. So Rabbi Yisroel asks him, do you still have bitochen 100% that you're going to win? Of course I do. You sure? 100%. Will you sell me the ticket for 5,000 ruble, you know, for half? So he says, yeah. Oh, you're fooling. You see? That's not 100%. That's not real. So a tefillah that is heartfelt evokes rachamim. A tefillah that is focused, that it's the Rabbeinu Shalom, which we have, that certainly is a schus of emunah, that I trust, that I know Hashem is in control. The bitochem part may be a little bit harder to come by, because to really trust Him, it has to be a trust that I am 100%, I'm confident, I have no hesitation, I have no doubt. But that's a level that we can achieve. And the more that we daven, and sometimes the more that we daven and we don't get answered, and we maintain the trust that we come back again, that increases the trust, because what am I doing? What do you mean, you didn't give up? You didn't give up yet? It's like, this is an irreverent story, but I, every time I think of it, it's appropriate at some level, I can't resist from telling it. The story about these two brothers. One was a very big tzaddik and very poor, always saying tilim and davening, tilim all day long, nothing, had no parnosa. And the other one was a oisvorf, was a real, you know, no goodnik, but he was loaded. And one day this poor brother couldn't take it anymore. He asked his brother, he says, I don't understand. He says, I'm such a good boy, and I pray all the time, and I say tilim, I'm constantly asking Hashem to help me, and you never talk to Him, and you have everything, you're loaded. So his brother tells him the secret, he says, you nudge Him too much. You know, so, but that's very wrong, you know. But sometimes when we nudge Him, that's what he says, the Novi, Yogati van Chosi. He says, again, he's tired, he's tired from this constantly crying out to Hashem, this constant krechzing, this constant sighing that he's looking and waiting and waiting. But sometimes when we continue to wait, that inspires true trust, because you're still asking him. You haven't given up. He hasn't answered you yet. How many times? Again and again and again. No, because each time that I continue to do it, when I have the frustration of not having been answered the previous time, is a greater statement and an inspiration that I'm counting on him. I'm not giving up. I'll never give up. I know he's going to come through. And the act of continuing to do it enhances that feeling of confidence that he's going to come through. So these are some of the, maybe just one word on this dynamic of trust, because there's a problem here, and I think that that we might be able to answer it with a comment that the Sipurnu makes in this week's Sedra. You know, the problem here is that I'm trusting him, but how do I know I deserve it? On what basis do I trust him? Like, you know, if I don't deserve it, like, well, but I'm trusting him, and the schus of the trust, I'm going to get it. But how do I have the trust if I think that I'm not supposed to get it? How does it work? So it's an emotional thing, but how does it work? So I just want to give you maybe an example. Paroi says like this to the Mialdois. He says, what did you do? He says, I told you to kill them. And the Sipurna says that his accusation to them was bogadeten bi. You betrayed me. You betrayed me. It was a betrayal. Begida. It was a betrayal. Why? Because I told you to kill the children, to kill the males, and you didn't say no. You didn't refuse. They didn't refuse. They didn't want to start up with it, but they were afraid. But they certainly didn't say yes. And I trusted you to kill these children, and you didn't. I keep losing the word. What's the word?
Betrayed.
You betrayed me. You betrayed me. Betrayed you. Betrayal, the way I understood betrayal, is a relationship. If I make a deal with you, you promise me you're going to do something. I'm counting on you for something because you, in good faith, promised to do something, made a commitment, then you betrayed me. But over here, what's the betrayal? You wanted us to kill the Jewish kids. We never said we would. You decided to believe that we're going to do it. We got to be crazy. We're not going to do such a thing. And you say we betrayed you? Because you trusted us? It seems that in human relations, the midah of trusting, I choose to trust you. Then even though you didn't tell me to trust you, and you never agreed to respond to my trust, but I trusted you, there's a certain element of betrayal there when somebody is counting on you and you don't show up. There's a Rav in Muncie. He has a book, a beautiful book on Bitochon, and he says a moshel there. I think it's his own moshel. Says about somebody who lives in a small town, has to get to the airport to get to do a business deal, very important deal, the biggest deal of his life, and he has to leave his house at 10:45 in the morning. There's no car service in the community. He calls up a total stranger. And he says, you're the only person in the world that could help me right now. I'm counting you to be at my house at 10:45 to take me to the airport for this most important deal. Now, he hangs up the phone. And the guy doesn't know who called him. Has no idea. Now, I don't owe you anything. Really don't. You call me up at random. Never heard from you. I don't know who you are. And you decided that I have to take you to the airport at 10:45 in the morning. On the other hand, he's counting on me for the most important deal of his life. Can I let him down? It's a betrayal. I didn't agree to it. I don't owe him anything, but the counting creates a certain need to respond. I'm relying on you, and that creates a need to respond. And that is the same thing with the Rabbeinu Shalom. You could say that the Pshat is, we're counting on him. He didn't promise us. We have no right to count on him. We shouldn't. We may not deserve it. It may not even be for our good. That's another question. But of course, he could always change it and make it for our good. but I'm counting on you. I just, it's emotional. It's not logical. I have no reason to count on you. You didn't say you're going to do anything for me. But something, I just have this feeling of trust, this confidence, this feeling because you're so good, you're so kind, you know how much I'm suffering. You know, you're Gati van Chosi, you know how much I've been through. And I ask you, please, please, I'm counting on you. And it seems that creates a certain response that just as on a human level, there's a betrayal, so too on the divine level, there's a sense of, I can't let this guy down, his trust. And this is, seems to be the koyach that we have of bitochen. Okay, but there's something else that's very interesting in this dialogue here between Baruch and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Yirmiyahu, tells him, V'yato tevakesh l'cho gedolos, I'm destroying Klal Yisrael. I'm destroying Eretz Yisrael. You're asking for Nevuah? Al tevakesh! Ki hinani meviro al kol bosor nu mashem. Stop asking. Don't ask anymore. Please, I beg you. Al tevakesh. What kind of talk is that? If he's answering him, he says, Baruch, listen to me. You don't deserve. The Anovi is Anovi b'schus Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is not deservant now. Klal Yisrael is leaving Eretz Yisrael. They sinned. They're not deserving. They did Avodah Zorah, whatever. And they're no longer deserving. I'm not appointing new leaders to Klal Yisrael in this undeserving matzav. So that's my answer to you. What does he tell him? Al tevakesh. And what if he's mevakesh? Let him be mevakesh. The answer is no. You know where we find such a precedent? By Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel kemenyan vo eschanan to go into Eretz Yisrael. 515 times, I think. He begged Hashem, please let me go in. Rescind the Gzeira, let me lead the Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, what? Stop. And Chazal tell us, because had he been mispalel one more time, he would have had to listen to him. See, the koyach hatfilo, we have no way of knowing what the magic number is. Sora's number was until she was 90 years old, and who knows how many tfilos she said until then. Moshe Rabbeinu was 515. Keminyan v'eschanan. What Baruch's number was, I don't know. But he says, al tevakesh, it seems, and it's almost a pacha to utter these words, it seems that tefillah, with the ensuing sense of counting on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the schus of my enhanced emunah and the koyach of the bitochin that I have in the reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is such a powerful force that kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way out is to say, please stop. Please don't do it again. Please don't continue. Because you'll force my hand. And I don't want to be forced. Moshe Rabbeinu was not supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Jewish history would not have unfolded. It might have been a lot prettier. But it would not have unfolded according to the master plan had Moshe Rabbeinu gone into Eretz Yisrael. And my plan now is to send Klal Yisrael in Golus and to destroy the Beis HaMikdosh. And that plan has to remain in intact. And I can't make another Novi. It's against the rules of the game. I don't want to violate that rules. Please don't force me. But it seems that there's a koyach that tefillah has. That the enhanced emunah has. That bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say, please, stop. Don't do it anymore. Because if you are to continue, then I would have to do something which at this particular juncture in Jewish history is not in the game plan, is not in my plans, is not what I had in mind or what I feel is appropriate for Klal Yisrael. So it seems then that tefillah has such a koyach that a person literally has the ability to force the Rabbeinu Shalalem's hand. You know, we find a similar thing by David HaMelech, a little bit different. David HaMelech knew he was supposed to die on Shabbos. But David HaMelech knew that kol zman that he was learning Torah, that that the Malach HaMovis couldn't win him over. So what did he do? When it came Shabbos, he didn't stop for a moment from his learning. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the plan was, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately, Atzas Hashem Hisokum, so he distracted him for a moment with some fly or something that distracted him, and that moment, the Malach HaMovis was able to get him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world in such a way, there are powers in the world, the power of Torah, the power of Tefillah, the power of Bitochin. These are koiches, immutable koiches. These are laws of nature. These are the true laws of nature. Chazal say loy motza HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamoy, eloy HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamoy, ela dal rama shel halacha. The only thing that really exists in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is the dal rama shel halacha. Emuna, bitochin, tefillah, Torah, that's the real world. Everything is meduma. Everything appears. It appears to be a world. It appears that man has powers. It appears that politics has powers. It appears that money has powers. Not anymore. As time goes on, I guess this is all part of the plan, the unfolding of the plan, bringing about Mashiach, Umolo Oretz Deas Hashem, Kemayim Le'am Mechasim, that as time goes on, we more and more understand that all of these powers are non-existent. There's only one power. It's Einoid Milvadoi. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those realities are the ultimate reality. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to override those realities, it seems that with his infinite powers to do anything he wants in the world, but he set these realities as such immutable laws of nature, principles of creation, that the way that he overrides them is by asking us to desist. Al tivakesh. Please, stop asking for nevuah, because I might have to grant it. Meish Rabbeinu, don't be mispalel again to go into Eretz Yisroel, because I might have to, or I will have to, respond to you. David HaMelech, stop the Torah learning, because the time has come for you to leave this world, and that's the way it has to be. That's the way that the divine plan reads. And I think that this is a very, very critical lesson in terms of what tefillah is all about, because one of the saddest, and forgive me for always coming back to the world that plagues me practically every day and almost every waking hour. One of the saddest phenomena that we have today is yeshiva students who are turned off to davening, who are turned off to a relationship with Hashem. They claim, of course, that they got turned off. Well, they don't say that's the only place, but they say they come to shul and they get turned off because they see a lot of talking, they see a lot of disinterest, they see a lot of mitzvah anoshim ilumoda. They don't see the passion that one would expect with people standing and praising the Borei Olam and then having the opportunity, barabim, to ask him for anything they want and knowing the power of that tefillah, that in the schus of that tefillah, they could change decrees that were decreed for them. They could affect the whole future of the world. Moshe Rabbeinu could have gone into Eretz Yisrael and changed all of Jewish history. I don't know what would have happened if Baruch Ben Neriah would have been awarded Nevuah at the time when Klal Yisrael was supposed to go into Golus. Who knows? They don't see that. They see, yeah, all right, yeah, they see we come a little late. We talk a little bit here, a little bit there. You know, some people used to defend it and say, well, you know, it's very Hamish. We come to shul, we feel at home, so we talk with this. It's not like in some of the temples or in some of the other religious houses of worship where everybody is silent. They feel like strangers there. We're very Hamish. It's all very nice. But lemaisa, it doesn't send a very good example. But more than that, they never understood what it is. What am I doing? What's the process? How do I talk to him? And why doesn't he seem to answer? And you know, in our generation, our kids are suffering even more because they're in the generation of instant gratification. Everything else they do is instant gratification, right? A tefillah? 90 years I'm going to wait? Yogati v'anchosi? Impossible. They can't. So the generation is really far from understanding and appreciating this. But it's sad that they don't really have that sense of appreciation. So sometimes we say, oh, have an idea. We're going to teach them bir tefillah. We're going to explain the words to them. Okay, so they used to explain, blessed art thou. Then they changed it to, blessed are you. You know, and improved it a little bit with art scroll and things like that. But it's not the words that I don't know. It's the feeling. It's the concept. It's the ability to influence the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's the ability of the heartfelt feelings of pain and suffering and beseeching of Rachmonis that can change the divine decree. It's the ability of that enhanced emunah that I recognize that everything is from Hashem that allows me a schus to earn and deserve something which otherwise I was not deserving of. It's the ability of that enhanced bitochoin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that allows me to rely on Him to the extent that now I'm counting on Him, and He turns to me and He says, I don't know why I can't think of that word. I can't betray Him. It's a mamash a mental block. I can't betray Him. I can't betray Him. I have to respond. We have to give this message over to our children. We have to be able to inspire them with the power of tefillah. And that having been said, I'd like to share with you, just briefly, just for the few moments that we have left, an explanation, an understanding of a tefillah we say three times a day. And half the room says it three times a day. The other half maybe two, I don't know. Anyway, but something which is so important to develop this sense of what tefillah really is. There's three components to tefillah. So there's the praises, the Shmon Esrei, the main part of tefillah. We praise Hashem, the first three brochas. We make requests, we ask Hashem for what we want, and then we thank Him, Moedim. So the question is, it doesn't really seem appropriate to thank Him right after you ask the request. I just asked Him. I asked Him for parnosa. He didn't get it yet. I mean, from the time I said Borech Oleinu Uvorech Shnoseinu Kashorim Hatoivos until the time I get up to Moedim, and some of us can do that pretty fast, my stocks all of a sudden, my portfolio all of a sudden didn't restore itself. So like, you know, I'm thanking Him already. So I used to think the pshat was, years ago they used to write in a letter thanking you in advance, like people would be intimidated, you know, oh, they thanked me already, or we'll have to, you know, if I thanked Him already, maybe it means I really mean it, it's really serious, I really trust Him, I'm sure He's going to do it. The truth of the matter is that you can't thank Hashem for something that He didn't do yet. V'horaya, when we say Al Anisim, as we said on Hanukkah, we don't thank Him for the Ness of the Menorah. It says, Rabbi, I'm not. But it doesn't say that it burned for 8 days. We don't thank Hashem for the burning for the 8 days. We thank Hashem for the victory of the Chashmonoim and the survival of Torah, that it wasn't forgotten to Klal Yisrael. Why not? Because the burning for 8 days didn't happen. It happened to them, not to us. We can only thank Hashem ki gomal oloi, something that was done, or shira l'Hashem ki gomal oloi. Only if it happened to us can we thank Him. So I can't thank Him for something that happened to them. That's the Ika Ness of Hanukkah, because the lesson of the miracle and how important the mitzvah is and that is learned from there. But the Hallel, the thank you, the Al Anisim, goes on the miracle of the survival of Torah, not on the burning for the 8 days. So then how do you say Hallel for something that didn't happen yet? How do you say Hohido? How do we say Moedim Anachnu Loch? We thank Hashem if He didn't do it yet. If you look at the Nusach Moedim, we thank Hashem that He's Hashem Elokeinu Le'olam Voed. That's true. But Noide Lecho, do you know what Noide Lecho means? Noide Lecho, we will thank you. It's the future. It's not the past. You know what Moedim is saying? We are so confident that you will respond to our tefillahs. We have been inspired with such bitochon in Hashem through saying these tefillahs that Noida Lecho, we tell you right now, Noida Lecho and Sabrati Losecha, we're going to thank you and recite your praises. Al Chayenu, Am Surim Yodecho, Val Nishmoisenu, Val Nisecho, and all the miracles, Shebechol Yoim, Val Nifloisecho, Vetoivisecho, Shebechol Eis. And then we do a little piece of history. Hatoiv ki loicholu rachamecho v'amarachem ki loisamu chasodecho me'oilom kivinu loch. We have always trusted in you. And what is that? Hatoiv, you're the good one. Ki loicholu rachamecho. Your mercy never ceases. You always feel our pain. Loicholu rachamecho. Your mercy has never ceased. V'amarachem ki loisamu chasodecho. And you're the merciful one whose chesed never ceases. Why? What's the repetition? The Teretz says, maybe you have mercy, you feel our pain, but you're not doing anything about it. But we look and we see like this. You've always felt our pain. And not only that, you're the one who feels our pain, and your chesed never stops. You always respond to the pain. Me'oilom kivinu loch. Based on that, we have always trusted you, and we will continue to do so. We have our history with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He always feels our pain. He's adheinu azorunu rachamecho v'lo yazavunu chasodecho. And therefore we're confident al titshenu lo netzach. He has always helped us. We have not necessarily deserved this. Everything he did for us was chesed and rachamim. And the Goyin says that since what you did for us in the past was chesed, that's what he says, the pshat is adheinu azorunu, that which you helped us was only rachamecho, not because we deserved it. V'lo yazavunu, and that which you didn't forsake us was only chasodecho, only your kindness, and not because we deserve this. Therefore al titshenu, he says, when we ask you not to forsake us, we're confident you won't forsake us. Because if what you did for us in the past was because we deserved it, maybe today I don't deserve it. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't only respond to what we deserve, he responds with chesed and rachamim constantly, eternally. That's what he's done for us in the past. We didn't deserve everything that we have today. HaChesed Hashem is way beyond that which we deserve. His rachamim is much more than we deserve. And he's done that for us in the past. We're confident that his chesed and rachamim will remain constant. And even if we don't deserve, he will help us. And that's me'olam kivinu loch. Every day that we recite this, mo'idim anachnu, no'ide lecho, if we can be mechazik, we can strengthen that bitochen in Hashem, the schus of that bitochen, that trusting him, that he will not betray, got it, he will not betray us, he will not let that trust be wasted. That's a koyach that entitles us to achieve in this world what beyond what we ever could have achieved. And that may be why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to say to Baruch, Al tivakesh, please stop. Don't ask. Don't beg. Don't ask for rachmonis. Don't count on me. Don't rely. Stop. Because otherwise I may have to respond, and under these circumstances, this is not the proper response. So the upshot of this whole discussion is, contrary to what people say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes the answer is no, I would say rather, sometimes he has to tell us, please stop, or he distracts us, or he makes some reason that we shouldn't, but he says, Al tivakesh, because the power of tefillah is endless. And the schus, and the hisurus, the awakening in us, in emunah and bitochen, is a koyach that's irresistible.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.